Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast, and today we are going to do the Port Adelaide 2020 season preview. So before we get into 2020, we'll have a look back at 2019 and what it meant for the Port Magpies. So they finished, or Port Power even. But we'll get on to the Magpies in a little bit. They finished 10th on 11 wins. How did you see that as a pass-fail for them?
Oh, that was a big pass, mind. I thought they had no chance of playing finals. Lots of holes in their side. I feel like that's a pretty good effort for them to get that many wins on the board.
I think as soon as Ollie Wines went skin,
preseason,
yeah, their season was fucked. Because a player that goes down with injury in the preseason is bad. When he goes down doing something he fucking shouldn't be, that's much worse.
Well, there's a lot to that, isn't there? Because at the end of the day, the players are human and they're allowed to have a life outside of footy and do what they want to do. But you also have a responsibility to your job to rock up to work.
And I mean, the rest of teammates, you've got a responsibility to keep him away from Jack Watts.
I think players should be able to do a lot of stuff. Like if they want to go for a beer, you know, they want to head up to Wet n Wild, swimming in tits or whatever. That's their job, that to enjoy themselves in off season, because they can't do it during the season.
Yeah.
But going water skiing is another level, particularly when it's such a heavy pull on your upper body.
Yeah.
And he's had upper body issues before. So, look, I can see how he'd want to do it.
Yeah.
And look, he's got a decent rig, get it out when you can. But it's a risk, and this is the risk you take.
Because I do think that, you know, players, let them do whatever they want to do. But at the same time, like, this is your job. And, you know, if I did something on the weekend that meant I couldn't work on Monday, my job would be pissed off too.
Fucking oath. That's why I can't get drunk on Monday nights. I've got drinking to do on Tuesday morning.
All right, so let's go through. What were the highs for Port in 2019?
I think it was their ability to hit the scoreboard, despite the fact a lot of their big money forwards sucked.
Well, Charlie Dixon did spend, I think, the first 10 games out. And I don't know how many games he came back for, but he certainly, you know, was the focal point of their forward line for the last couple of years. And when he's not playing because of a persistent ankle injury, I think, does leave a little bit of a hole.
Well, Dixon, Westhoff's up there a fair bit too, and he was pretty ordinary.
He's their swing man, yeah.
Mm. Robbie Gray didn't have a good season by his standards.
These are pretty good highs.
Their highs is that they're able to get good scores on the board despite not having those players in form.
Yeah.
A lot of that come from Sam Gray. He was a bit of an X factor up there for a fair bit.
Did they have many off-field discrepancies this year? I mean, obviously injuries, what we're talking about, but there's no real incidents. I mean, they got some, you know, some people that have been known to have some extra curricular.
I think it might have been right at the start of off-season last year where we had the swimming and tits that Josh referred to, but it only endeared people to Jack Watts, even if it was the year before.
It did give him some personality, which he has not shown anything of prior.
And, you know, when he was playing at the start of the year before he did his knee, he looked all right. He looked free.
Yeah. So I think that incident made Jack Watts more marketable.
Maybe.
If you were Kapersky or Norton Antivirus, he should be your spokesman on cybersecurity. log out, motherfuckers.
Exactly.
Especially if you're chatting to someone else and the missus is on your computer.
One of the highs was round 5 against West Coast, beating them over in Perth.
Not by a small amount either.
It wasn't West Coast playing badly either. It was Port doing what they wanted to do. And after the game, you know, Ken Hinckley said it's the best game he's ever seen them play, which is probably a little bit of hyperbole, or hyperbole, but it was a really strong win against the side that was probably favourite for the flag and defending champions at the time as well. I put their young brigade, Connor Rosie, Dersma, and Butters. Really showing some promise.
Oh, they're three with very big star potential. I mean, yep. Rosie was just unlucky. He's in the same draft year as old mate Walsh. But any other season, he'd be the Norwich Rising Star. Whatever it fucking is now.
Yeah, I guess it hasn't been called Norwich for 15 years, but I still call it Norwich sometimes too.
The Ansett Cup will be good this year too, I think. But Rosie is just superstar written all over him.
Yeah,
and
he's got talent.
He seems like the sort of bloke that can handle that pressure though. Like, he's not one of the young fragile lads. He's not afraid to mix it up, which, you know, I always like. I like a young lad that's not afraid to put his body on the line.
What do you make of Dersma's firing the arrow? Celebration.
I don't give a fuck.
Fine, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see more of this shit.
What I like is that he is stuck with it.
Yeah.
Like, he must have known. Like, some people are going to think I'm a flog, but he's going, you know what? I'm doing it every goal.
Don't care. So, if they rock up to boo you, you've done your job.
Exactly. Exactly right. And we're talking about this on the weekend, actually. We're watching some of the UFC fights where we know that some fighters will go out and get booed because they know it means more people are going to watch.
Yeah.
You know? McGregor does a lot of it, obviously, and lot of the trash talk. Football players are not allowed to.
No. I feel like it's time for a change.
I think it's time for a change.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of players who are the bad guy to every other team.
Yeah.
Yeah, but never in the media. They won't hype up a game.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I feel like the...
Well, Toby Green copped a fair bit of it.
See, I think the legit old school media has a much smaller reach on football fans as a whole now with the... obviously podcasts and all sorts of blogs and online content that you can get and create for free, basically. Yep. I feel like there's a massive shift, not only in football. Obviously, football is a bit behind the rest of the media that's already well ahead of transitioning from, you know, watching the news to reading Reddit or listening to a podcast or, you know, instead of a debate, you watch Rogan. So I feel like there is a massive market for that. It's just not the traditional
for the heel
oligarchs of the media
yeah.
to play that we look to. Yeah.
Kane Corns has got that cornered.
But he's not a player. Yeah. You know what I mean? I want someone who's playing. And trust me, Kane Corns will think that dude's an absolute wanker. And I'm like, that's the benchmark of the yardstick for knowing what you're doing right.
I'm trying to think. There's a few of them going around who don't give a fuck if they're the bad guy. I mean, obviously, Toby Green's one of them.
Yeah, but that's all on-field.
I want good guys pretending to be bad guys and getting real stuck in.
Yeah.
like Harley Bunnell?
You got to play, though.
Not stuck into the gear.
You got to play.
But I remember way back when, Andrew Jarman had a column in the paper while he was playing, and he said, we'll muzzle the dogs, and they got flogged. Mm. And I think ever since, nobody has said anything bad about the opposition pre-match.
I think Akamanis kind of did that a couple of times as well.
He said about his own team, though.
Yeah.
See, I don't want so much to be about teams. I want to see some one-on-one personal stuff going on.
No, I beat him every time I play him. You know, he's nothing to worry about. He should be worried about me.
He's my bunny kind of thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Go get stuck in, really put the pressure on. But, I mean, you've got to go pretty far.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The other high...
Well, although Sam Mitchell did the injection thing.
That was during the game.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
But didn't back down from it afterwards. I think he was kind of like, oh, yeah, sorry if they were offended.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the banter's got to come... Do it in the papers. Do it on, you know... I was going to say the footy show, but, you know.
Got to apologise to absolutely nobody.
Exactly. And say that. Come out, I am apologising to absolutely nobody. I think they suck. I'm going to kick their ass.
Yeah.
On the highs, too, Travis Boak had probably his greatest season.
Oh, 100%.
Handed over the captaincy at the start of the year, and nobody thought he was the wrong captain for the side.
Mm.
But decided, you know, let's step back. You know, your family. Let's concentrate on footy. And goddamn, it worked. He had an absolutely brilliant year.
Yeah. Yep.
So where are the lows?
I was going to say one more high.
Oh, you're one more.
Dan Houston.
Yep.
Yeah. I could not have recognised him round one. And by the end of it, I had every Port supporter I knew pointing him out to me every chance they got. And they got a fair few fucking chances.
And since we're doing the highs that we forgot, 10 goals in a showdown. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a nice day.
I should also say the St Kilda game. They were extremely accurate. They kicked 22 goals, 9, I think it was.
Jesus.
And 22-7, so even better. Accuracy is good footy, as we've said many, many a time.
Looking after the ball.
Yeah, and they weren't very accurate out of the season, but that particular match, they were just stunningly brilliant.
Yeah, well, turning that into the lows, obviously accuracy cost them against GWS, a game they should have won. Went down by a point, kicked 7 goals 13 to GWS 8-8.
Which obviously means you've got more of the ball and blasted away a little bit and haven't used it right. There is one big obvious low, and I think it was a highlight of the year for you, Josh.
They came into the round 22 match coming off back-to-back 100-point scores, 126-103. And got absolutely fucking hammered by North.
They look like witches' hats out there.
Yeah, and I was at that game, and I fucking loved it. I was sitting amongst Port supporters, because a good mate of mine has got Port season tickets.
Yeah.
And I was trying to play it cool, but in the end, I got sent to the back benches. Like, no, you better fucking leave.
And that was at a point where, ladder-wise, they were edging towards North, right? But couldn't finish?
Well, they had a chance. They still had a mathematical chance to finish in finals.
But a better than 50% chance, I think it was at that stage, if they had a good win.
Yeah.
And I think North was about a 20% chance.
And obviously, it's funny, you know, if you're a key backman, you think, I'll keep their forward. He's only had 11 touches for the day. I've done all right. But Benny Brown kicked 10 goals one from his 11 touches. You did well stopping him from getting the ball. The problem was it turned to gold every time he touched it.
Yeah, and the other sucky part is that Larky got 5 goals and got forgotten about. But,
and I think I've said this multiple times when we did the round, Ben Brown kicked 10, wasn't best on ground. He might have got three Brownlow votes, but he was not best on ground.
Yeah.
Which shows just how dominant North Melbourne were able to be.
Yeah, that'd be the low for them because North and Port are around the same stage. Yeah. And they played a very similar style too. Very focused on a tall forward, very dependent on old legs in the middle.
Yeah.
And their back line can be hit or miss.
And I think they've both got like a lot of players. When they get the ball, you're like, oh, shit. Oh, no.
Where's this one going?
Yeah.
Pal Pepper. all right, so let's have a look at their list changes over the offseason.
I was going to say, the other thing about that game is that Pittard and Polek were actually pretty decent. And there's nothing you hate more than a player who leaves your club and gets better.
Now,
and Pittard did.
Was this the first year of Polek and Pittard, or the second year?
First year.
Yeah. So if I remember right then, Pittard had an absolute shocker when they played against Port earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
And made up for it a little bit in this game, if I remember.
Yeah, he was more than handy. In the return leg, because Port won the first one at home.
Because if I remember it correctly, Hickens got injured in that game too. But Pittard had more turnovers than possessions, it felt like.
Yeah, and I was at Adelaide for that one too. And he got booed relentless, which is fucking weird for a player that left because everyone hated him in the supporters unit. He was their blame bunny. And then they still hated him on the opposition. I'm like, look, you got something for someone you hated.
Yeah.
You know, shouldn't you celebrate this? But he had a shitty game then and they gave it to him.
They enjoyed it, of course.
As you do. And look, I get it. But he kind of got the return back. And look, you know, I guess next season will determine whether who gets the last laugh there.
Long way to go in that one. So look at their list changes in the off-season for Port. No big ins, really. But I do think that they have loaded up on draft picks a little bit because there are a few father and sons coming through in next year's draft that I'm sure that they're very interested in. On the outs, though, Billy Frampton, who becomes only the second or third player, I think, that's gone from one Adelaide club to the other. So he's gone across the road.
Yeah, and look, they're not missing him.
I think they
catch up with him every week. But in the same city still.
Yeah, he's a handy player. Dougal Howard, though. Is moved on. I don't like that move from Port Adelaide at all.
No, that was weird. Especially because players of his quality that play back or that can play back, are pretty rare.
He's a good player. I thought he was very solid. You know, his worst game was not that far from his best. You know, he's very consistent, and I thought you could build a back line around him. I mean, he might not be all Australian, but he's reliable.
I think all Australian backman is such a...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A weird hat to wear, because it's so hard to rate a backman, because they can have the best game of their life and you don't see them because they shut their player down. Whereas they can have, you know, a brilliant game in a shit 3 minutes. They get four goals kicked on them and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that a shit game.
Yeah, they're tied up.
Yeah, but having said that, from what I remember, they were trying to play him out of position a lot. Because they had to, because they were losing players left, right, and centre of injury. And he just got the shit with it. He's like, no, I want to play backline permanently. And they're like, well, we can't guarantee that. And so St Kilda said, look, we'll do whatever you like. Yeah. And he's gone, sweet. And you're throwing some cash? Yep, we will. All right. That works.
And over to St Kilda as Ryder as well. I think that's a bit of a win-win for player and club there, because Ryder, injuries haven't been kind to him the last couple of years. And I think he's 30, 31.
I just don't get what St Kilda did that for when they've got decent ruck stock. But anyway, they've done it, and Port Adelaide are probably the beneficiaries of that.
They got rid of some rucks, St Kilda. They got one good young ruckman, but you kind of want two, and you don't mind the older bloke sort of playing 30% ruck and, you know, 70% coach.
To be fair, Ryder's best is pretty fucking good, but his worst is really bad.
His worst is injuries. You can sit on the bench for three quarters sometimes.
I think Port, their ruck stocks are looking, you know, serviceable. Looks like they've got a plan. You've got Lissette, obviously, who's late 20s, whatever he is.
Premiership ruckman, obviously, as well.
I love Marshall. The way he goes about it.
Yeah, but you got Sam May as well. I think he played a couple of games last year, if my research serves me right. And Sam Hayes, who, big dude, 20 years old, still got plenty of years before he starts getting a kick, but you've got that progression where you can see what's going to happen.
You've got the Daniel Gorringe, you know, he's over 200 centimetres, so he's got a couple of years yet. Broadbent retired, and not to be rude, but I thought he retired the year before. But he played a great game in his last game, and one of those absolute clubmen that would be appreciated by Port Adelaide more than any other team supporters going around. And Jack Trengrove as well, who I don't think got up. He might have got up for one or two games this year, but injuries obviously robbed him of his best foot.
Actually, one question I think is worth asking. Can we do you think the jury's still out, or can we say who won the Wingard Burton trade?
I think after 1 year we might give it a little bit more.
Let's see how it plays out.
But who do you say is ahead at the moment? Because Wingard had some good games, but he went missing for a lot too.
Well, he didn't play a lot.
I've got to say, check who played more games, because Ryan Burton, I think, played 6 games for the year.
I'll look that up, so I'll get Jamie onto it.
Pull that one up, Jamie. But yeah, I do think it's a bit early to say who won that one. But what really Port Adelaide got out of it was, I believe, Connor Rosie.
Yeah.
It might have been the pick they, the extra pick they got.
Right.
With the trade that they used. So I can tell you, Chad Wingard, I think, played 14 games in the year. So Ryan Burton, you pick up. So it's years to come.
Burton played 16.
There you go.
Yeah, Wingard played 14.
Yeah, Wingard played that much. There you go.
Yeah, averaging, let's have a look.
Yeah.
He got a little bit of the ball.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you look at Wingard too, his last three rounds, I think he was best on ground for, you know, two.
Yeah. Plus, I think I watched Port play once this year or last year.
Burton did his hamstring early on. There's lots to come. Lots to come in that one. It's too far away to say. And the other out, like you just mentioned, was Jack Trengrove. So looking at 2020, their draw coming in, their double ups for the year are Adelaide, Gold Coast, Hawthorn, the Bulldogs, and West Coast. Or Adelaide, Gold Coast, they'll be very happy with. I think that West Coast and the Bulldogs might be too much for them, and Hawthorn is probably around the mark for them. Well,
there's always a benchmark team, and to me, the double up with Hawthorn puts them as it.
Yeah.
I'd say Essendon are the other around the mark, and probably North as well.
Yeah, sort of around that middle mark last year and this year.
Yeah, whereas if you can beat them, you're in for a very good season, probably get about 12, 13 wins, maybe play finals. If you lose to them, you're looking about 6 wins for the season, and you're under pressure. Because Hinkley was under a lot of pressure, and that got to him.
All right, well, we will get to that in very shortly, I believe. Who's in for a big year for Port Adelaide this year?
I really want to say Robbie Gray, because he's a quality talent. Didn't show as much last season, but I think he's too good to be kept down for too long.
Yeah, and I'm going to apologise here. I have missed something very big in their outs was Sam Gray.
We should
have mentioned that. My fault, I missed that one off. There is no rhyme or reason to letting Sam Gray go. He was far too good.
He was a quality small forward and pinch hit around the middle as well. Like, very busy player.
Yeah. Trouble for anybody to match up against. I don't know why they traded him out, but...
Might have been a monetary thing. Maybe they're trying to clean up some money for a big fish next year.
Or maybe, you know, they're looking at Rosie and Butters and thinking, oh, they're younger versions of him. Maybe, but he's still have value as far as I can say.
Well, anyway, if they are, they better put them on 10-year contracts pretty much straight away.
Yeah. So who's in for a big year then for Port now that I dropped the gun up there?
Well, not Sam Gray.
Yeah.
Robbie Gray. Yeah. He's the one that I think he's too good to be too bad for too long.
Yep.
I've got young Xavier Dersma. I thought he's one that's had lots of talent. He obviously killed it as a youngster coming through the ranks. He's played 20 games as a 19-year-old, kicked 11 goals as a midfielder, and I think there's plenty of room for him to grow in that midfield now. I wouldn't be surprised if you drop him forward as well, because obviously he's still a bit young and undersized to play a consistent role in midfield. But I think he can be a really annoying player that pops up and makes it hard for the other side to cover.
I'm surprised it was only 11 goals, because it felt like more. And maybe that's because he does the arrow every bloody time.
Yeah.
That it you notice it whenever he does.
Yeah.
I also put Todd Marshall in. They're very happy with how he's come along. And do a bit of work for them in the rucks. Darcy Byrne-Jones as well.
Yep.
I think he's going to surprise a few people and be talked about in when it comes to All Australian this year.
Yeah,
he's got a lot to give.
I think one of the ones to watch is Wiley Buzzer coming across from Geelong. When he did play, I thought he was all right. He could make an annoyance of himself. I thought he was like almost a defensive wingman, if that makes sense.
He's a Goomba. I mean, he needs to play in the ruck because he hasn't got the skill to play anywhere else.
Yeah, yep.
There's a reason, you know, Geelong was screaming for a ruckman for half the year and he was still playing in the VFL.
Yeah.
I think that says enough about him. Now, I did my research a week or so ago, and under having a big year, I had Ollie Wines.
Ew.
And we find out he's injured again.
Yep.
So he might be actually on the outer now. I think it could be his last year at Port. They might get a little bit sick of him. And he's still, you know, he's in the prime of his football life. They might think we can get value for him now and he'll go somewhere else and be an absolute superstar.
Mm. The other thing I would say too, the only two players to play 22 games in the whole Port Adelaide side was Darcy Byrne-Jones and Connor Rosie.
There you are.
If they're that reliable, geez, the future's bright for him.
It's all right.
But, the scary part is that it means every other player has either been injured, suspended, or dropped through form.
And a lot of them were dropped too. So who's on the outer at Port Adelaide this year?
Well, Fred's obviously gone. Jack Watts, Joel Garner, those guys were, you know, on the outer.
They've got a lot of players that are on the outer at other clubs. What's scary.
Charlie Dixon has to be.
Jack Watts, I think, is one who isn't, because he'll be coming back from injury. And he looked good before he did his knee last year. Dixon, again, it's going to be all down to injury. And I think he's not, as we speak, and whatever this is in mid-February, I don't think he's doing full training yet, Dixon, I've got a feeling. I mean, I'll put Westhoff in because he's 33. But they love what he brings to the side. But like I said, those youngsters are so exciting. And at 33, how much longer are you going to be around for?
How do you feel about Stephen Motlop?
I'm surprised he's still running around, to be honest.
I think you've got to put pressure on him.
He can turn it on. You know, there's been those few times since he's been there where they needed a goal in the last 30 seconds and he's broken through lines and kicked it.
But he's kicked 7-5 from 14 games. That is a shithouse return.
I'm not a big fan of him when he left Geelong anyway. And I don't think he's proven to be any better at Port.
He doesn't seem to have the mental callousness you need sometimes to be an AFL football player. This is just commenting from the outside.
Yeah.
He seems to get, the occasion gets to him sometimes. Yeah. When he's on, he's on. When he's not, he's just disinterested.
I'd say more of that. Like, his best and worst are very far apart. And at times it can be a liability, especially his field kicking. Might have been one game this year I was watching Port Adelaide play, must have been a Friday night game, with the old man. And we counted, I think, 8 or 9 turnovers in a row from Motlop. We're going like, he shouldn't touch the ball.
But the thing is, he's not short on talent. And that's,
of course,
that's the worst part about him, is that other players who aren't as good will have worse games without the exposure.
Yeah.
But he is just a player that his best is so good that it kills you if you're a Port supporter to see him be mediocre.
Okay, and the last one, how much pressure... Oh, sorry. Now, one more on the outer is Trent McKenzie. He came over from Gold Coast.
Yeah.
He's played 2 games in 2 years, so you're going to get sick of that very quickly.
Cam Sutcliffe is the same sort of boat.
One I do think who's going to cause some tough questions is Brad Ebert, because he is a quality player and a heart and soul player.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's on the downward spiral. Only got out there for 11 games this year. 11 games, I think? Yeah, 11 games this year.
Head knocks are his issue too.
Mm. Yeah, and it's one of those ones where... Lad, if you're getting concussions regularly, give it away.
He's got one more in him.
You know, maybe be nice to people. Stop knocking out.
But he's also one of those players that could have a future in coaching, because he seems like a very, very switched on player.
Nobody keeps getting those
head
knocks.
Talking about he's getting fucked up in the head.
Coach. Sounds like media. He'll be on Channel 7 commentary by next year. On the outer, and the big one, I think, how much pressure is Hinkley under?
It should be plenty.
Yeah.
Look, their first few games are going to tell whether he gets a gig, because they've got the Suns in round one.
Yeah.
If they lose that, he's in trouble. They've got Adelaide round two. They lose that, he's under a fuck ton of trouble. And North round three. They lose that, he's fucking gone.
Yeah. Well,
they won't announce until about round 10, but he is fucked. They lose the first three rounds.
It doesn't help that they've got a president who's very active in the media, obviously. But if they are 0-4 and... I don't think they will be, because Gold Coast round one. But if they lose that one, jeez, it's going to be hard.
Well, the problem they have is it's a Metricon, and it could be fucking blowing a gale up there. It could be raining. It could be anything.
It could be 41.
Yeah.
You never fucking know. Out of those first three games, they only play one at Adelaide Oval, and that's against Adelaide. So that's no advantage there, really.
Mm. Have they got North in Tassie or...
Marvel.
Marvel. Well, that's lucky for them then.
Yeah, although that's where North... thrashed them last year, so they might want the return leg.
You never know. You never know, exactly. 2019, they were 10th with 11 wins. Where do you see them finishing this year?
Well, I've got them taking a bit of a slide down the snakes and ladders board at 14. I feel like the list just doesn't deserve much higher, to be honest.
I've got them even lower than that. I've got them at 15, only because I believe that they're going to bottom out a little bit. They have great youngsters, but they're young. Yeah. And that means you don't know what's going to come in from week to week.
Mm.
But also, I think there's just so much pressure on the coach that they're going to make some desperate moves.
Yep.
And if it backfires on them, then that's what all the talk comes.
Mm.
Well, I've got them finishing first again, same as last year. Oh, no, wait. No, that's 11. Sorry. 11. 11. Yeah, that's more like it.
Just because you're dirty on them for...
Have you not won a season of our ladder tipping yet, did. Josh? Did you? Yeah. I'm not seeing it on the scoreboard there.
Yeah, that scoreboard's fucking changed.
It's your scoreboard.
No, we won one each in the first 3 years, remember that?
I thought we did too.
Oh, the scoreboard doesn't lie.
No, someone fucked it up. I'm blaming Heath. But no, I've got an 11th. Their good and their worst is just so far apart. And I do feel like to win this season... they get games into Rosie, Butters, Dersma, DBJ. That's a win. If they can get 20-plus games into those guys, they would be fucking ecstatic.
It's a great list. It's just 2 years off the pace.
Yep.
Yeah, I think there's still a little bit more clean-out they need to do, but they won't do it too quickly. Because
no one else to come in. That's why.
They'll make one clean-out.
In the coach's box.
Yeah. And also, because we've already done Adelaide and we all picked Adelaide to finish no better than 13th, that'll be, I think, the third year in a row with no finals footy in South Australia, which means even more media pressure. And there's a brand new coach across the road.
Yeah.
So they're going to focus on this one.
I think the pressure always falls on Adelaide greater in the media, though, just because the more Michelangelo Ritchie knows more Adelaide players.
He's got more ins there. All right, that'll do us.
Yeah, good luck.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.